Good evening. What a joy to be together. It's great to be able to come into this place and leave our stuff laying all over the place. That was me, sorry. We are going to sing some carols together. We're going to hear from God's word being read, and then we're just going to look into it just for a few moments. It will be fairly dark. I think Bill's going to turn the lights off in a minute, so it's truly carols by candlelight, both natural candle and battery candle. People that are reading off the screen here, so they should be fine. But it's great to be together. I'm going to start by praying, and then we will have our first carol. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that we gather in this place. I thank you that we can sing and we can praise you. Lord, help us to do so with all our hearts. Help us as we hear your word to take it in, and help us as we think upon your word to learn from it. In Christ's name I ask. Amen. I lied. We're not going to sing first. Dominic. Where is Dominic? Hey, my heart went for a second, Dominic. Dominic's going to come and read to us from God's word, and then we're going to sing Come and Join the Celebration. Come on, Dominic. It's there.
John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Thank you. Come and join the celebration. Let's stand and sing.
Come and join the celebration. It's a
to say by notices, but in a second, Pat's going to come and bring our second reading to us, and then we will sing straight away after that. But one thing, we had a tea here this afternoon, and there is plenty left over. There's a lot of sweet things left over. After the service, we will have a tea or coffee. We'll serve it from in the back hall, and I don't think I'm allowed to leave until all of the cakes have been eaten. So to help me get home at some point tonight, please come and join us. It would be great to see you there. Pat is going to come and read, and then we are going to sing once more, following which Francis is going to come and read without any introduction. Thank you.
Hey. Luke 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
It's not my guitar. Well, I'm not playing this one either. Angels, no, Silent Night, isn't it? Silent Night, sorry.
To me. For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Excuse me. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant, and behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home.
We are going to sing again. It's a little bit of stand up, sit down, I do apologise. We are going to sing Angels from the Realms of Glory, following which John is going to come and read from Luke chapter 2 for us. Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Angels on the roaring train of rival warrior, Jesus and Luke 2, 1 to 7. In those days, a decree went out for Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, for the town of Nazareth to Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
We are going to have another reading of sorts now. Jenny writes quite a lot of poetry. If you've ever been to Jenny's house for a cup of tea, she has book upon book, and she's going to come and share a brief portion of one of the poems she's written about Christ. Here I am.
Mary was so tired, and Joseph was too. Their path difficult, not one they readily knew. So many travellers on the road jostle and push. No greenery here, just dust and barren bush. All were seeking their own destinations, complying to another of Rome's proclamations. Long had their journey been, and now late in the day. Joseph leads on the donkey, pursuing still their way. Their lives had been so ordinary, yet now he really could not comprehend, for how was it that something wondrously divine had entered their lives, a saviour brought by God's design? Then, into the silence of that night, a cry. A child is born, and one star illuminates the sky. Salvation, born to man, the long-promised Messiah. And shepherds, keeping sheep, hear a heavenly choir.
Yeah, of course I can.
Thank you for that. A long way down there.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's all right, just watch that music. Thank you, Jenny, for reading that to us. We are going to sing once more, Away in a Manger, and then Tom is going to come and continue our readings, Away in a Manger.
Lay down his sweet. Right, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was the angel with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace amongst those with whom he is pleased."
And we obviously assumed that everyone knew the carols very well, so we thought that if the projector went off occasionally, it sort of inspired us to think about what we were singing a bit more. This morning we talked about lying, and I may have another confession to make. We are going to sing once more, and we have a real treat. We have a French horn and a cornet, which both play instruments in different keys, which is brilliant. But we are going to sing while shepherds watched their flocks by night, and hopefully Cara and Alice are somewhere nearby. Yeah, you're here, good. Good. While shepherds watch their flocks by night.
And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshipping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem.
Now we're going to sing one more carol before I speak, just for a few moments, and that is Hark the Herald, Angels Sing. Hark the Herald, Angels Sing. I'd like to say a big thank you to anyone who's taken part in any way, whether reading, technical stuff, playing instruments. It's great to be able to serve together in this way, and I thank you for your effort. I thank you all for joining us, and I will say, if you don't go anywhere else on a Sunday, we meet here every week at 10:30 in the morning, 6 p.m. in the evening, generally 6 p.m. You might wish to check the website. Occasionally we change it to 2:30 just to keep people on their toes. But you are more than welcome to join us. And if you have a particular love for carols, next Sunday morning we are having an unrehearsed nativity. Who knows how that will go? That's next Sunday morning at 10:30. And in the evening at 6 p.m., we've got a service I've dubbed the Choose Your Own Carol Evening. How exactly that's going to work, haven't yet sussed out. Probably some suggestions in advance, but we'll get to that this week. And then Christmas Day, we're meeting here, 10:30 and 6 p.m. as ever, and you're welcome to join us at any point. I'm going to pray once more, and then I just want to speak briefly about a couple of those readings that we've heard, particularly focusing on Mary and her reactions and emotions around the time that Christ was born. But let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, I thank you that we, once again, I thank you that we are gathered together. I thank you that we can come and sing these carols, these songs about Christmas. And I thank you that Christmas has such a better reason than just getting together to sing songs, just gathering as families to eat, just doing those traditions we do. I thank you that we are celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are giving thanks to you for sending your Son to this earth to save us. Lord, I pray that that thanksgiving will be from our hearts. Father God, we know that many people at this time of year struggle. You know that many people find Christmas difficult, and I pray that you will be a source of comfort to them. We know that many people don't even think about the Lord Jesus Christ at Christmas. We so easily get carried away with so many other things. I pray that we will all think very carefully about why we're celebrating. And I pray that, not just for us here, but us as a town, county, nation, world. I pray that this Christmas time, people will just realize what it is they're celebrating and the importance of Christ's birth, then his death and resurrection. Father God, I thank you for your word that we've read this evening. I thank you that we can read of exactly what happened 2,000 years ago. And I pray that you'll open our eyes and hearts and ears to it this evening. In Christ's name I ask it. Amen. My notes. We had a short movie afternoon this afternoon. Both of our children were fairly tired, and we thought a movie afternoon was the way to go. And we watched a film, and I wrote down, I was reading through for this evening as we were watching it, and this quote came up, and I thought it was suitable for what I'm about to say. You may question it, but bear with me, please. At one point during this film, one of the main characters said, "And that's when I decided I hate Christmas." Not really an appropriate quote for a carol service, but he didn't like Christmas. And I think that's probably true of some people. When we hear the news that Christmas is in 2 weeks today, it will be the 25th of December, I'm sure even in this room this evening, there are different people feeling different things. There will be some who will be full of excitement, unashamedly excited about 2 weeks' time, Christmas Day. For some, it may be a bit of anxiety that we haven't got everything done that we need to do. For some, we may be worried about spending hours with family that we don't normally see. For some, we may not be looking forward to Christmas because it is a difficult time for many. We will all feel differently about Christmas Day, as we do about many things. We are all individuals. As we look around the world, for some, the 25th of December is just a normal day. For some, it seems to be the most important day of their year, even if they don't have a care for Jesus. Everything builds up to Christmas Day. And I'd like this evening, in just a few moments, I'm not going to speak for too long, in just a few moments, I want to show us all that no matter what emotion we feel about Christmas, whether it's excitement, whether it's grief, whether it's worry or anxiety, I want to show us all that there is one reason to have true joy, one reason to have hope despite anything else. And actually, from the readings that we've read tonight, it's clear that mixed emotions around Christmas time are nothing new. We read some of the accounts of Mary, and particularly when the angel went to speak to her. And 2,000 years ago, Mary wasn't necessarily feeling pure excitement all the time. She did at one point, which we'll get to. We often, when we imagine the Christmas story, picture this delightful birth of a non-crying baby, because that's what Away in a Manger tells us, into a manger, and it's all peaceful and serene with a cow looking on, smiling, if a cow can smile. But actually, the birth of Christ was in no way like that. It was in a busy town, probably in a smelly stable, a crowded place, away from home for Mary and Joseph. All because, as Jenny's poem said, the Romans had decided that people had to go back home, and if they didn't go back to Bethlehem, they would have been punished. The birth of Christ wouldn't have been an easy experience, but neither would the days and months running up to that birth. And actually, in our reading this evening, in one of them, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 28, we see Mary's fear. We see in Luke chapter 1 an angel coming to Mary, and he says, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Now, surely to be told you are favored and the Lord is with you is a good thing. Mary, we read, was greatly troubled at the saying. She was worried. She was trying to discern what sort of greeting this might be. She was trying to work it out. She was second guessing. The angel being there filled her with fear. We often see this through Scripture. Again, we think of angels being cute little cherubs, tiny babies with wings that float on clouds with a harp. But actually, angels in the Bible invoked fear. They are a heavenly being. They are entirely out of place in this world. Mary was terrified, greatly troubled. And she was told that she would have a baby and that she would call his name Jesus. Now, the Bible doesn't go into this any further, but for Mary to be told she was about to have a baby would have been a time of fear as well. She wasn't yet married, and in those days, to be having a baby without being married could lead you to being cast out of the family, to being despised. This wasn't going to be an easy road for her. Not only did she face fear, but she also faced confusion. This was a confusing time. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse 34, Mary says to the angel, "How will this be? This isn't possible. How is this going to work?" For Mary, being told that she was going to have a baby was a fearful and confusing time. And yet, and this is what I want to get to, and yet, not long after, Mary went to see her cousin. And she said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." She's gone from fear and confusion to delight and rejoicing. Why is that? Why is that? I'm convinced it's because she finally realized she was favored by God and recognized the greatness, the wonder of the baby that she was about to have. Because this wasn't just any baby. As she was told in Luke chapter 1, as we read, the baby's greatness. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him to the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. We find five things about this baby to come. We know his name is Jesus. This baby would be great, and that is an understatement. This baby would be perfect. This baby would be wonderful and awe-inspiring. The people who followed him around when he was an adult were full of wonder at the things he could do. But not just at the things he could do, but the way he lived. He lived a life that was entirely perfect. He never sinned. He never did wrong. He was full of love and grace and compassion. Not only was he great, he was the Son of the Most High. Yes, this baby to come was to be born of a woman. But this baby to come was the Son of God the Father, and actually God himself. We believe in a triune God, one God, three persons. If you'd like to ask me questions about that later, please do. If I don't give you a satisfactory answer, ask someone else. But this baby to come was the Son of God the Father. This baby to come was there at the beginning of creation. And now, through Mary, he was coming into this earth. And Mary has the privilege of bringing him into the world. What an honor is that? So he's great, he's the Son of God, but also he belongs to the throne of David. Why is that good? Why are we mentioning David? Well, the Old Testament prophesied that there would be a Savior King, a Savior who was a descendant of King David, the David that killed Goliath, David the father of Solomon, and so on, until we got to Joseph and Jesus. Jesus was a king. He was of a kingly line. And because he was of that kingly line, we can see that the great Savior that was promised is going to arrive. Not only was he of a kingly line, but he was a king who would reign forever. We've seen much change in our nation over leadership, both from the royal family and the prime minister in recent years, and in fact most of government. With every change comes a period of uncertainty. Not so with Christ. He is king forever. He will not change. And actually, he's king forever because death could not hold him. He died and rose again 3 days later to never die again. And finally, the kingdom of this king will have no end, either in time or space. His kingdom will never be full. There is room for more. What does this say to us? Mary rejoiced because she recognized the greatness of the baby that was about to be born. We too can rejoice because of the greatness of that baby. Because of the greatness of the Christ who came, Jesus who was born. Earlier I said that the idea of Christmas can evoke all sorts of emotions in all sorts of different people. But I hope that if we focus on the one whom this day is all about, we can find peace and comfort, joy, security, and hope. We can join God's kingdom. It has no end. It is not full. If you are not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you want to experience this great joy, I tell you, turn to Him. Ask Him for help. If you don't understand what I'm saying, speak to me or someone from the church later on. His kingdom has no end, but it also will last forever. We are told in Scripture that this earth, our time on this world, is short, fleeting, and difficult. But we are also told that our time in heaven will be forever and perfect, with no suffering or pain or loss or tears. The kingdom will never end. And because the baby that was born is the Son of God and is now sat at the right hand of God the Father, we can know that He is listening. He experienced life on earth. He is able to bear with us. He understands our difficulties. And He is able to answer our prayers and take them straight to God. We don't need to confess to anyone. We don't need to go to another person for spiritual help. We can turn straight to Jesus because He is with His Father in heaven. And finally, why can we find hope in this baby? We read that He was great. We also know that He was perfect, and therefore He was able to provide a perfect sacrifice. We all, as we thought about here this morning, at some time in our life, fall short of God's expectations. We all reject Him in such a way, and such rejection requires a judgment, but the wonderful thing is, because Jesus Christ was perfect, He gave His life and took all that judgment so that we don't have to face it. All those who wish to turn to Him, to repent for the times when they reject God's ways, can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and know that they will be welcomed into God's kingdom with open arms. I wonder how you feel about Christmas. I hope that we can find some joy in knowing that the baby that was born is truly magnificent. Wonderfully, as I finish, God provided a proof that all things are possible. Mary was unsure how this would be. We may be unsure about things in the future. We may be unsure about anything that I've said this evening. God gave Mary a proof. And he said that Elizabeth has also been promised a baby. Elizabeth was, as we read in Luke chapter 1, in her old age. She was expected to never be able to have children. And yet now she is having a son. Physical proof that God's promises are always kept. God will keep all of his promises. Why are we here this evening? Why am I singing carols? I'm singing to rejoice in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. And there is a great promise that we find in Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that's why we praise the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to say any more this evening, but if I've said anything that evokes any emotion in you, whether joy and delight, whether anger and irritation, please speak to me after the service. I won't leave probably till there's no one else here, although I do need a lift home. I'm going to pray, and then we are going to finish our service with one final carol. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that we can rejoice in this great birth of this great man, the Lord Jesus Christ, fully human and fully God. How wonderful that is, how hard sometimes it is to comprehend. Help us to, I pray, and help us this Christmas to find great joy, hope, and peace in Christ. Amen. We're going to sing as we draw to a close. I think my second favorite Christmas song, Joy to the World, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Why can we have joy, true joy? Because the Lord came to earth. Joy to the world. Draw to a close, we'll pray, and then please do join us for a cup of tea. I'm sure someone will turn some lights on so we can find where to go, and they'll be in the back hall. Let's just pray one last time. Father God, I thank you for this service, this time together to celebrate and rejoice. Lord, may what we've heard and thought about not flee from our mind, but may we be able to dwell upon it this evening, and I pray that you will go before us and guard us and guide us from the devil's schemes. Keep us safe on our journeys home, I pray. In Christ's name I ask it. Amen. Amen.